Aren't you glad that you're in church? Amen. You could be in a bar somewhere about to be arrested or knifed. I don't want to set a bad mood for the room, but listen, here's something here. Somebody lost a $10 bill in here. You might want me to have it. Did you lose a $10 bill in here? Sister Cal, do you know where it was? Brother Charles, if you would please take that and put that in the offering. If you want it back, just that's tough. It's not. No, we just, God blesses in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Can I get an amen? Do you believe that? Amen. How many of you are ready for a word from the Word tonight? Well, good. I'm ready to give you one. I've thought about this for several weeks, and there's several ways to give it and to deliver it. I'm going to eulogize your enemy tonight at the end of this meeting. I'm going to eulogize Satan and all of his followers. What you have to realize as we get started is that before you were born, everything was already set in place that you would be highly favored. You would be blessed. The only thing that can take that away is the delusions of Satan talking you out of your blessings, countless blessings. There are over 7,500 promises to mankind right now in the Bible, which I don't know what else the Lord could do to make you realize he loves you and he wants to bless you. He more than he wants to do anything else, he wants to bless you. He wants you to feel good about yourself. He wants you to have your best life. And people that are Christians, people that are sons and daughters of God, should have that kind of life. I'm going to read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, where the word says this, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, just take me and carry me where you want me to go, where we can bless the most people in here. In Jesus' name, your word is already blessed. Bless the hearer. I bind up every distraction in Jesus' name. I bind up every devil, and I command them to loose the children of the Most High God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we have to understand something. The lion in Scripture is Jesus. He is known as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Satan is known as a phony. He's part of creation. He is fallen, and he's your foe. And what he wants to do is the only thing he can do is talk you out of a blessing, talk you out of strength, talk you out of not learning how to pray fervently and accurately. And the next verse says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. What he's saying there is, every believer goes through attacks of Satan. It's part of life at this time. I want you to know, in the next life, in the sweet by and by, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no tempter in heaven. In fact, over and over in Scripture, we see that Satan is fallen. He's ousted out of heaven. In Revelation chapter 12 is one place where they talk about him and his angels being cast on the earth. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, I beheld and I saw Satan fall to the earth as lightning. Now, he's upset, it says in Revelation 12, because he knows his time is short. If I could tell you anything about the devil, it would be this. His time is short. If I could tell you something else, he is the only one named by name right now that he's already been judged. Jesus called him the God of this world, with a small g, and he called him already judged. He has already failed. Don't hook up with Satan. He's a loser. He's the biggest loser because of that. We already know his fate. And God is patiently waiting for everything to be fulfilled here on earth. I want you to understand, though we have a foe and he's on this earth, he is a fallen foe already. He's already fallen. He's already been defeated. He's already a loser. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to be careful, because you have to be careful not to let him. He can afflict you in your physical body, and he afflicts people in their mind, and he gets into their thought life, and this is the beginning of depression. The final end of depression is possession, and you don't want that to happen to you. I don't know that true believers can be possessed by the devil, but they can certainly be attacked. He attacked Jesus Christ. In Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he tempted Jesus. He took a cheap shot at Jesus. So if he'll do it to the Son of God, the best thing to do is what it says here, be sober and be vigilant. It means when you wake up in the morning, you should be thinking and realizing and understanding and conceding that if he can, he's going to attack you. Now, the Bible says he walks about as a roaring lion. Now, one of the things about tribes of lions is they are masters at it. You can see it on videos. They pick out the weak ones, the tired ones, the ones that are not paying attention. He picks them out, and he tries to attack them however that he can. He uses other people. You mean the devil can use people? Just like God, the devil can use people. Jesus turned around and looked at Peter, the apostle, one day and said, "Get behind me, devil. Get behind me, Satan." See, so what we have to decide is who are we going to let into our circle? Who are we going to let talk to us? Who are we going to let influence us? The Bible teaches and warns extensively, be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. We have to decide who we're going to date, single person. We're going to have to decide who we're going to fall in love with, single person. Because if one thing I've seen since my ministry started when I was about 22, 23 years old, is how many people just pick somebody and they're unevenly yoked. They have a love for God, but they have chosen somebody that's not going to make it through, that's going to destroy their life. I picked the person God told me to pick, and it's been very hard, to say the least. But this year, August the 10th, 2 p.m. California time, Millie and I will be married 47 years. Amen. Give me a big one. Yeah, standing ovation wouldn't hurt. But let me tell you this. The only four kids that I have is the four that's mentioned around here. I don't have any little kids in the closet. I don't have to come out of the closet, because that's not a problem either. But anyhow, children of the Most High God, your enemy is fallen. He's already fallen. He's not gonna fall. He's already fallen. God knows right where he is at all times. He's part of creation. He blew it big time when he decided he was going to come against his creator, his father creator, God himself. And so many others have done the same thing. But Satan attacks us when we're tired and when we're weak and when we've been through terrible things. And as I said, that's what lions do. But he's not a lion. He doesn't have any teeth. Jesus, in the 3 days of his crucifixion, descended into the lower parts of the earth, according to Ephesians chapter 4, and he made an open show of him. That means he put him on display and showed he defeated him in front of everybody, and it wasn't no big deal. And yet, he has destroyed people by talking people into giving up their son and daughtership to, on a certain day, and giving up their protection and guarding themselves. Satan often attacks strong people too and tries to make them weary. He tries to, the word speaks of in end time events that the devil would try to wear out the saints, wear out God's children with all of the terrible things that are happening. I mean, really, isn't this a little much what we're seeing today in America, one of the greatest nations in the world? I'm going to tell you, if you want to get a day off, just say COVID. You don't have to say you have it. You can just say I've heard of it, and I think that I might have a, and you can get a day off and so on and so forth. This is a time for you to be preparing your life for a greater success than ever before. If Satan attacked Jesus, he will attack you. That's going to happen. And his weapons, what he uses, we're not ignorant of his devices, the word says. He uses lies. He uses condemnation. God will talk you into doing something silly that you shouldn't have done. Whether you put your hand up, he's done that to everybody in this room. How many of you are smart enough by the raising of your right hand to realize Satan has jerked your chain before? If you don't have your hand up, can I tell you something? You're just kidding yourself. He'll do it again to you. Think about it. Be sober. Be vigilant. When you wake up in the morning, realize I'm going to have to face Satan probably somehow through somebody, through some situation. As Job said, the thing I feared the most came upon me. So we can't afford the luxury of fear. The Bible teaches that fear of earthly things is sin. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By the fear of God, men turn from sin. So what we must do is make constant adjustments as we learn and understand. We seek out and find the promises of God and the guidance of God in the scriptures. Some of your trials could be long. You could get in a tussle that will last for a while. That's one of the ways he tries to wear us out. And what do you need to do? You need to keep resisting the devil. You need to keep fighting the devil. You need to find them Bible verses. You need to get you your favorite pen and a stack of paper and find, if you're being attacked, look it up. Get on your smartphone and get smart, for God's sake. Hey Siri, give me all the Bible verses that have to do with depression. And that, I guarantee you, that'll be enough for 2 or 3 days just to work on right there. Siri, I'm feeling lust come over me. Hey Siri, give me all the all the Bible verses on lust and the truth and consequences of lust. Can I get an amen? Amen. One of the things you have to realize, it's said in verse 9, we're all in this together. We are all attacked. There is no such thing as a person not being attacked by Satan. And so we should walk about humbly. It's the beginning of getting blessings from God. Be humble. Don't act like a big know-it-all. Don't act like you're too good to ever get in any kind of trouble. You're just beyond that. Well, you're beyond that today. The word Paul told the Corinthians, look, you better be careful. You're standing. Let's just hope you continue to stand. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. And then you're going to have to be picked up. How much time does a fall take? How much time should we prepare and put on the whole armor of God according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20? How much time should we be doing that? How much time does a fall cost you? A lifetime? A marriage? Years? Months? A bad financial decision? How long does it take to recover from some of these things? Because you don't have to make bad financial decisions. I married the girl God told me to marry, and it's been a stressful situation. Why? Because Satan don't want people to get married and stay married. I've had to look him in the eye and say, you know what? I'm staying with this girl because I said I would. And if you don't like it, you know what you can do, devil. I'm going to do the right thing because that's what I said I would do. If you've had 2, 3, 4, 5 marriages, just try to make this one here the last one. You'll be happier. Let's be honest. You wake up in the morning and stuff happens, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Things that we never thought would happen. We lose people we should have never, ever, ever lost. Let's look this around just a little bit different. And let's talk about resisting, fighting, and winning against the devil. You have to understand, biblically, positionally in the Bible, you've already won. You've been given everything to win. You just have to know it and know how to use it. The word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know what that means? The greater one is the seed of God inside of you. The greater one is the Holy Spirit of God. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses here close by and all over the world, and nothing shall by any means hurt you nor stop you. This gospel will be preached. Devil, hear me. In Jesus' name. One of the worst things you can do when the devil's kicking you is to feel sorry for yourself. You got to stop yourself. Find one of your closest friends or your pastor or somebody and just say, would you please slap me about 3 times on this side and 4 times on this side and tell me to straighten up and fly right? Amen. By all means, don't leave the church. I've seen people have a little problem with this, that, or the other, and the next thing they're out of church. And the next thing they're fallen again. See, the devil wants you to be like him. He's fallen. He's not going to fall. He is fallen. He is already fallen. He is already defeated. And I just want you to know for sure that you're beautiful to God. God loves you. God believes in you. God would have never saved you if he thought you would lose it. You're not going to lose your salvation. How many of you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Come on now, show me a hand. Show me something. You know you're saved, for God's sake. You're blood bought. Amen. Satan cannot scripturally take that away from you. But you got to fight for what's yours. Can I get an amen? You got to fight for what's yours. Your salvation. your family, your finances, your health. I refuse to be sick just because you are. I refuse to be broke just because you are. I'm going to be 70 years old this year. I'm expecting the most presents from you. I don't mean that in a cocky way. This is how I have to, this is the attitude I have to maintain to keep where I'm at in Christ. Have I fallen? Many times. Have I missed it and lost time? Yes. What does it do to you? Makes me more sure of this. The more I know about God and His promises, the more time I spend in fellowship with Him. Don't hide from God. Expose yourself to God when something terrible happens. If you suffer a loss of any time, any kind, don't hide from God. Tell Him what you've lost. Tell Him how much it's hurt. And find the promises that say, I will restore that which the locust has destroyed. I will give you more. I will give you back more for your trouble. Renew your mind every day, many times a day, with the promises of God. I can remember this young lady right over here. The doctor said, if I'm not mistaken, you couldn't have children. And she would sit right back there. Over and over and over, she would stand up and say, I want to thank God for my children. I want to thank God my womb is open. I want to thank God I'm healthy. I want to thank God. God's not going to deny me having a child. Can I get an amen? Miss Julie, how many did you end up having? 3 children. And the doctors told you, well, we just don't. And how many grandchildren do you have? 7 grandchildren. Look here. Your faith, what you believed, what you heard here years ago, you believed it. You knew that you were supposed to speak it out. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, whatsoever he says, he's going to have. I believe that. I live that. Over and over and over and over and over. Spend more time with God. When you're in a fix, when things aren't going well, spend more time with God. Find time. I like what Pastor Kelly says. She'll put it on Facebook sometimes. Hey, I'm going to be out of pocket for a while. See, she's been trained by the Holy Spirit, by her dad. She's been following me around, doing home visits and praying for people since she was a little bitty thing. She was in a room with me many, many years ago. She was about 7. And she was right there with just a handful of people when somebody died in the room. And she just learned. And she loves the Lord. She loves you. We call this church our baby. We would do anything for you within reason, including correcting you when you need it. Does anybody have a problem with that? Resist Satan. What does that mean? Well, I saw a little girl on a newsreel about 4 months ago, and this guy ran out of the car. I mean just a little girl, about 12 years old, to get this girl and to abduct her. And she resisted him. I mean she resisted him. And then the whole neighborhood saw, and he got in his car and ran off without his prey. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and death to every child molester. that doesn't receive God's forgiveness, and every kidnapper, and every wicked individual. You've got to wake up in the morning to know what you stand for. I live by the blessing, and I live by the curse. And in Genesis chapter 12, the word says, Angelo, I will bless those that bless you, and I sure will curse those that curse you. I've seen both. And I live like this. Father, I just want to bring you pleasure today. I commit my life into your spirit this morning. If you think it's better for me to go today, I don't resist that. I'm ready to go. But Heavenly Father, the devil knows I'm not a wimp. I'll stay here and preach till I'm 145 years old if you want me to. You just pick, God. Are you with me, church? This is what you're hearing. This is how champions live. They're not sniveling, fearful. I'm looking for the next demon to cast out. Mark chapter 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not preachers, them that believe. The first sign, in my name, they will cast out devils. If we're casting out devils, how can the devil be such a big deal? He's exactly how I've described him henceforth this evening. Satan, I'd like to eulogize you right now. Everybody turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And this is the way of the devil. All through the Bible, you see where Satan has been fallen. In Isaiah 14, reading from verse 12, the Word of God says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" He weakened them. How did he weaken them? Well, we get our first example in the early chapters of Genesis where Satan gives Eve a bad time. And through words, he says, God's just worried about you knowing as much as he does. He knows that if you eat that fruit, you'll be just as good. See, that's the only way, is to talk you into doing something stupid. Then he'll condemn you for doing it and say, you're not a Christian. You don't need to go to church. You'll never be a Christian. How many of you have ever heard those voices? Yes, you have. For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And here's your eulogy, you old booger. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, devil. Heaven and earth will pass away. God's word will never pass away. You can take that to the bank. Hear me, Satan. You shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, you know what it means to narrowly look? They'll say, oh my God. This is the little dude that's been causing all the confusion. Remember the Wizard of Oz? Remember the big smoking thing? And there was a little twit behind a curtain there. Is this the man that made the earth tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? The word seems to describe in the great white throne judgment that we will all see Satan dealt with and cast, just like everybody else that didn't receive Christ, into the lake of fire. There are five hells, five prisons spoken of in the Word of God, the final resting place for everybody that said no by the way they lived their life every day, over and over. They continued to say no to Jesus, the final resting place for every person, human, for every angel, fallen, for every demon, for every evil spirit, for the beast, and for Satan himself. The final resting place is not a party place. You won't go there and party with your friends. It's called the Lake of Fire. And the unfolding and description of the Lake of Fire is horrific when you read it and understand it in the Greek. You don't want to go there. No, you and your buddies will not be smoking Acapulco gold and sipping on Bud Light in hell. You will be being tormented. And it is an inescapable place, and that is the absolute truth. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Father, for letting me eulogize my foe. And I just want to ask you, see, this service has been recorded by God. If there's anybody in here that feels like I'm not sure if I'm with God or not, and you want to make your calling and election sure, you want to be saved tonight for sure, I want you to stand up.